Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
We have I have the privilege. We're going to do something super special here this morning for our service. And one of the things we do before we for our sermon, one of the things we do before I get that far though, is we always welcome our online audience. So why don't you give a big hand to all those who will be listening to our message online. We appreciate and love our online audience. As many of you are aware, we will be relaunching our church coinciding with the move to our new building, and we are going to be renaming to 414 Church. We're really excited about it, and I think there will be a screen behind me with some of the artwork on it. But our new mission statement is, we are a home where people are led to become fully engaged followers of Jesus Christ. And so today's an exciting day, as we're going to be doing a special edition of what we always refer to here at the Lifeway as 6 in 6. And so what that means, for those of you that have never been here, is we have 6 different communicators who are going to come up here, and they're going to talk about one of the 7 components of the 414 code, which are our core values. Now here are the rules. I want to explain to you so you don't think, well, man, Andrew's being really rude to them, all right? They've all been given very explicit instructions that they get 6 minutes, not anything more. In fact, once they get up there, you're going to see on the screen right in the corner, there's going to be a countdown, and when it hits 0, it's going to ding, and I'm going to take the mic from them, all right? So that, just so you know, that's the rules. They all were warned way in advance, but that's what we're going to be doing. So our 6 speakers today are going to be Hector Martinez, And you can give a hand, Abby Kennedy, Craig Bierdeman, Tiffany Venegas, and Andrew Rodriguez and Liana Veer. And we're so excited to have each of them speaking. Now, what I want you to do is, in your service guide, there's a sermon outline. Go ahead, pull that out. There's going to be some of the 414 code that they're going to be speaking on is going to come up there with a fill in the blank. This is also available in digital form on our church app. Now here's the deal. I'd like you to help them preach. I want you to understand, it's not easy being up here, all right? So if you like something, say amen or truth or clap your hands, all right? Will you help me help them preach today, all right? All right, everybody ready? All right, first we're going to call to the stage Craig Bierdeman. Give him a hand.
Don't clap too much. I only have 6 minutes, okay? All right, so today I want to talk to you about the core value of how we enthusiastically serve. So let me start out by saying that we recognize that every single person that's in this building today has been designed and gifted by God for a specific purpose to impact the church and beyond. Essentially, what does that mean? It means that every one of us have different skills and talents to make a difference. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking is, you know, I don't really have any special gifts or talents, but I'm here to tell you it's simply not true. You have been gifted in so many more ways than you could possibly know. Let me give you an example. My wife and I are so incredibly different from each other in the way that we serve. I am loud, obnoxious. I will do the dumbest things to make kids laugh. And she is kind and sweet and gentle. But regardless of that, we're so different from each other, we are both just as effective as one another. Or maybe you're thinking, I'd like to serve in some type of capacity, but I'm not old enough. Or maybe you think you're too old. Or maybe you don't think you're spiritual enough, or you're just simply not ready. I'm here to tell you that if you have a desire, God will give you the rest of your abilities. He will make a way. So I started teaching Sunday school when I was 19 years old, and trust me, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. All right, but I did have one thing going for me, and that's besides God on my side, is that I had a desire and a hunger to serve. So I've now been teaching Sunday school for 26 years, and I can tell you that I, along with my wife, my whole family who serves in Kids Way, and probably every other Sunday school teacher here, we love teaching Sunday school. It's not a job. It's not a responsibility. It's not a chore. It is a privilege. We genuinely love teaching your kids, and we genuinely love it. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been some days I want to rip my hair out, okay? There are days I walk out of here and my headache is so bad I just want to take a nap, and that's all I want to do. But anyone who has kids, you understand, right? All right. But those days are few and far between. So as a Sunday school teacher, why do we enthusiastically serve? Well, here are some of the reasons that we do. Number one, we want to ensure that parents, grandparents, or whoever brought that child into church can enjoy the message here in the main auditorium. I have three kids. I know how it is when you have them by your side and you're trying to pay attention, and sometimes it can be really, really difficult. So it's my job to make sure that you can come in here and relax. Another reason why we enthusiastically serve is to inspire godly principles, convey God's goodness, and teach children some of the really awesome stories that are in the Bible. Another reason that we enthusiastically serve is we want to provide just that 1 hour a week as a place of refuge for kids that come into our class. You never know the family situation that they come from, the terrible things that maybe they've experienced or seen. Believe it or not every person who walks in this church comes from that perfect Leave It to Beaver families. This is our chance to let the love of God impact their lives. This is applicable regardless of where you serve. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a greeter, a hospitality person, a parking lot attendant. You can be the smile. You can be the handshake. You can be the hug that makes all the difference in that one person's world that day. Another reason why we enthusiastically serve is we want, it's our mission, that when kids walk out of our classroom, they cannot wait to come back. I want kids begging their parents to come back to church just so they can go to Sunday school. Again, this is applicable no matter where you choose to serve in church. We want people to walk out of our services saying, wow, that was awesome. I can't wait to come back. Now, we have a saying in Sunday school that we do every single week, and we have our little huddle. At the end of the huddle, we all put our hands in, and we say, best hour of the week. All right, and we really mean that. We try to make it the best hour of the week. So, for example, when we're in the store and we're looking at maybe buying some snacks, crafts, toys, or whatever it may be for the kids, and sometimes, honestly, it's, okay, this is a little out of hand. There's no need to have all this. And Sarah and I will look at each other, it's best hour of the week. Oh, yeah. We have food challenges, for example, that we've done in Sunday school, where I have these contests against these kids where I'm shoving Twinkies down my mouth because I'm trying to beat them with the most Twinkies that I can eat in 1 minute. And I'm literally choking on the food. We've had cinnamon challenges, saltine cracker challenges. And this is all for older kids, by the way. None of your little four-year-olds are doing this, okay? I have had object lessons where I literally have created the most disgusting sandwich and hot dogs with the grossest, vile condiments and combinations of food you could possibly imagine, and I eat it just to make the kids laugh or perhaps really gross them out. I can't tell you how many times I have physically hurt myself as I'm coming in flying in a Superman or I throw myself on the ground just simply for a laugh. But why do we do all these things? We do all these things because we get to make a difference. We get to make a difference in the kids' lives and the parents that we serve. So regardless of the area that you serve in church or will be serving in the future, make sure to serve enthusiastically with all your heart and give it all that you've got. And you will be amazed at what God will do in your life and the life of those around you. Thank you.
That was amazing, just right to the second. Great job, Craig. All right, we're gonna have Abby Kennedy come to the stage. She serves also in our Kids Way team.
Have you ever been so nervous you feel like your water's gonna break? Just me. Okay, so today I'm gonna talk to you about developing and thriving. And as we frequently call it here, is discovering your purpose and your next steps. So to do this, I found an awesome verse. It's located in 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us before time began. I want to point out two words to highlight to you, the word called and the word purpose. We're going to take a closer look. The verse says that the second that we receive salvation, we receive everything that God has and it becomes available to us. Things like freedom, things like prosperity, things like favor, all of it. And it also says that the second we are saved, we receive a calling, and that comes with a purpose in Christ. So you might be asking yourself, okay, what does it mean to have a calling? Well, our calling is simply the identity of who we are. And in this case, the identity of who we are because we now have Christ. And that completely relates to our purpose. Our purpose is simply, what are we going to do with our calling? Our purpose is connected to how we help others. And ultimately, how are you using our purpose to lead others to the kingdom of God? So I'm just going to keep it simple for those of you that might have missed it. Whether you've been just saved or whether you've been walking with the Lord for years, we are all called to continue our steps towards the kingdom of God. I mean, they say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, right? But to be honest, a lot of us don't really make it that 1,000 miles. And if you think about it, I mean, how easy is it for you to talk yourself out of something? That New Year's resolution that you might have had to stay fit and active seems to quickly fade when there's a giant snowstorm or you're eyeing that box of delicious-looking Valentine's Day candy. You tell yourself stuff like, oh, it's too dangerous outside, I'll work out tomorrow, or I'll only eat one piece, which we all know is a lie. But the same thing applies when we talk about our calling and our purpose. It's so easy for us to talk ourselves out of something or become complacent in our walk once we've been doing it for a while. So I'm going to ask you this. What are you talking yourself out of that God's trying to walk you into? What excuses are you making that are preventing you from pursuing what God has called you to do next? Are you saying, I don't have time, I'm too busy? I mean, those are my personal favorites. I'm not qualified enough. I mean, the list could go on and on. Often when we're called to something that is difficult and uncomfortable, we question God. But here's the thing you need to think about when you're questioning God. God knows you. He knows what you have. He knows what you don't have. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can't do. He literally created you. He knows you. He gave you a purpose. And we still question him. So I'm thinking about this. About 2 years ago, I did exactly what I'm talking about right now. Andrew and Shyla approached Tom and I about taking over our children's ministry. And when they asked us, can you guess what my first reaction was? I literally laughed. I'm not joking. I laughed. And then I realized that they were being serious. And I said, okay, I'll pray about it. And when they left, the second the door left, I picked up my phone and I called my sister, because that's what you do when you have a great sister. And I said, you're never going to guess what happened. And I began to tell her, and I listed all of the reasons why I couldn't do what Andrew and Shyla just asked us to do. I have a new baby. I don't have time. I've never led a team. All of these excuses, the list went on and on and on until I finally paused. And if you know me, you know I like to talk, so it was probably a while. And then she said something to me. Well, why are you asking me my opinion? Because clearly you've already talked yourself out of it. And the truth was, she was right, I had. And then she said, you know what, Abs? I think you're great. And if this is what God has in store for you, you need to follow his plan and not your own. You're going to be blessed more than you could ever imagine. And guess what? I have been. We took that next step in leading the kids ministry, and God has blessed us. He has pushed us, and he has helped us grow in ways that could have never happened otherwise. Before leading our kids ministry, I really thought I was living in my purpose. But it turns out that God had even more in store for me. If you asked me 2 years ago to come up here, you could not have paid me enough money to come up here. But here I am in front of you. I just had to say yes so that God could bring me to that next level. So you might be asking yourself, how can I walk this out in my life? Number one, you need to realize who you are in God. As soon as you are saved, we became a new creation. Who you were, what you did, everything is now in the past, is behind him. You are brand new in him, and we have access to everything because of him. And the second thing, get connected to the house of God. I cannot stress this enough. The Bible says in Psalms 19, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Flourish. God has so much for you. And you know what? The enemy does his best work when you're isolated. So get involved. Get connected with like-minded people. Join a life group. Join a Bible study. Whatever you need to do so that God can bring you to that next level and he can cause you to flourish. And the last thing is, you need to know that you're here on purpose, for a purpose. When you begin to realize that you're made for a purpose and that you're going to be able to do things that God had never thought, that you never thought you could do were possible. And that's when you begin to grow and thrive. So my last challenge for you is this. If God is leading you towards something, don't hesitate. Talk yourself into it so he can bring you to it. It says in 2 Timothy, you are called for a purpose. So go chase that purpose.
I am so proud. I am so proud of Abby. Like what she said, now I'm going to embarrass her. But this has just been so incredible to see the growth in your life. And I am so excited with your little one coming. And congratulations, Tom and Abby. And I know you're in a season, a transitioning of ministry. But I'm so thankful for the growth I've seen in you and thankful for saying yes to Jesus. And she could preach that message, couldn't she? Give her a hand. All right, next we're going to have Hector Martinez come to the front. Give Hector a great big hand.
And so the church core value that I get to speak about this morning is we pursue our Heavenly Father. And so we live in a day and age where we are so consumed with technology. We are so consumed with that word upgrade. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just as guilty. Nowadays, anything can be upgraded. Our cell phones, our internet service, our TV sports packages. And why? Because we want everything to run faster, to be stronger. And when I think of the word upgrade, I think of the word better, right? And so we want all our toys and our gadgets to just simply be better. And so hear me when I say this morning, church. The same ought to be said. As Christians, we ought to feel the same way when it comes to God. You see, we ought to want to upgrade our commitment to God. Yeah, go ahead. We ought to want to upgrade our love for God, our relationship with God. And so why do we pursue our Heavenly Father? Well, because when we receive God's love, then we return God's love. You see, the more we get of God, the more we can give of God. And then the more likely we are to forgive ourselves and forgive others that have hurt us in the past. Because then and only then can we truly know God and can we experience true freedom in our relationship with Him. And then maybe, just maybe, we can stop limiting God as to how He can use us. You see, so many times we think to ourselves or we believe that unless I'm part of a ministry, unless I have some kind of gift or some kind of talent, God surely can't use me and He surely can't use us. And that's simply not true. You see, people are going to come to you hurting with problems and they're going to ask you for help. And depending on what you say, depending on what you do or how you react to them and to their problems, I want you to know that your actions can speak life into their dead and hopeless situation. And I want you to know also that how we treat people can lead them to salvation. It's true. And know this morning, that more times than not, you and I are the closest thing to Jesus that this world may ever see, hear, or feel. And so you see, the more we get of God, the more likely we are to be led of His Spirit. Scripture tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And so you see, when we're led of the flesh, we do things of our own talents, our own abilities. And then what it causes is for us to look inward. We look at ourselves and our mindset then says, well, I deserve. But you see, when we're led of God and His Spirit, then our focus becomes other people. And then our mindset says, instead of I deserve, it turns into and becomes I want to serve. And so understand this morning that love has to be the ultimate motivator behind all of our actions towards people and towards others. Because make no mistake about it this morning, church, we live in a world that is broken, a world that is hurting, a world that is searching and looking for something that you and I have to offer them. You see, what they're looking for is called love. You see, why? Because love is pure. Love is kind. Love heals. Love forgives. And so who better to give the world than to give them God? Scripture tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God." Why? For God is love. And so understand this morning that God is everything that I just described, and yet He is so much more. I'm going to leave you with this one last scripture that's found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And it plainly states, and it wraps up into a nice little package, so to speak, everything that I just talked about. And it says this: though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so, Lifeway Church, let us come together as a body, and let us together continue to pursue our Heavenly Father. Thank you, and God bless.
Great job, great job. All right, next we have Liana Veer. She's going to come and teach to us.
Hi. Good morning, family. I added a whole extra amount of time just so I could just say I feel so loved by so many here, and I just feel like this is family. But I got the great privilege to speak to you about an engaged family this morning. And as I thought about family, it became very evident to me that our families look different. They talk different. They act different. We're just different. So what should this family look like? I'm not sure about yours, but my family is messy, imperfect. We don't always agree. But in public, I often hope we'll look perfect. I, of course, am Kate Middleton. My husband is Prince William, not two. And our children are all very well-mannered and proper-like and are kind to everyone. But in actuality, we look much more like the Griswold family. Do y'all have y'all seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? All right, well, if you haven't, I should preface this by saying it's PG-13 and maybe not for all eyes or ears, okay? But it's really about Clark and the Griswold family who want to have an old-fashioned, fun family Christmas. And so he invites his mom and his wife's mom and their crazy neighbors, and their redneck cousin is camped out in the driveway with their unkempt children and their Rottweiler. And then, of course, their really elderly, deaf uncle and aunt come. And it all comes to a close when Clark's redneck cousin kidnaps his boss and makes a bad choice for a Christmas gift for Clark because he didn't get the Christmas bonus he was counting on. Now, I know this depiction sounds crazy and outlandish, but we all make really crazy choices, and life is just messy. It's not pretty. We're imperfect. And the truth is regardless of how messy our lives are and how imperfect we aren't family because we look alike or we behave alike or we agree. We're family because we love each other and because we have the same blood. Now, we're planted here at 414 Church as a family to live life beside one another for better or for worse. This family, this one right here, will celebrate victories. We're going to mourn beside you, and we're going to love you despite of your brokenness and imperfection, because we're broken too. Now, listen, we're people and creatures of habit that we like people that look like us. We like people that think like us. We like people that are going to tell us we're okay, but the creator of heaven and earth, your creator, actually knows what you need. And he knows you need a family that'll stand by you and love you even when we disagree with you. And even to keep you accountable and planted into the church body. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9, 10, and 12, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. So if one person falls, there's another person there to reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So you need to be planted in the 414 family to be woven into culture here, woven where God is the center of every relationship, where you offer opportunities to let people in and tell them your broken pieces and your hurting pieces. The most important relationships for me spiritually are actually here. They all showed up. They told me I wasn't second choice. They came out and they've talked me through and pieced me back together in my pain and in my hurt. I opened up and they offered a place for healing. The most important relationships are found in Christ, the unshakable foundation. And it's not always pretty, and it can be heart-wrenching and humbling to see your friends make bad choices, and it's probably humbling for them to watch me fumble and fall. But we have to let the light into the hidden things. This family sitting all around you is a family prepared to get dirty. We're not afraid of the ugly and the hard things because we have them too. We're a family invested in calling you out and praying for wholeness and healing. We are God's piecemealed family, messy and imperfect, but chosen for one another. We don't look alike, yet our grandparents and our parents, our sisters, our brothers, our children, and even crazy aunts that look like me are running around this place wanting to love you, wanting to have relationship and family with you. So we're family because we love each other first, and we have the same heavenly daddy and the same blood from our father running through our veins. So welcome home. You're not second choice, but this is a home for all.
Great job, Leanna. Great job, Leanna. All right, I have Andrew Rodriguez coming to talk about our next 414 code.
Thank you, Pastor. All right, so my 6 and 6 talk is on honor and care. In order for me to get to honor and care, I'm going to have to set the table and take you on about a 4.5-minute journey. So track with me for 4.5 minutes. I promise you we'll get to honor and care. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were created. It's going to be a journey. In God's image, and they were placed in a perfect paradise where the physical realm and the spiritual realm overlapped in the same domain. This is why Adam was able to walk with God in the garden. This is why Adam and Eve were able to see angels. Now, being created in God's image is a status. It's not an ability. God's purpose for Adam and Eve was to be divine image bearers. They were supposed to be representatives of God, and they were supposed to take the goodness of the Garden of Eden and spread it throughout the entire earth. God told them to be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion over the earth, but they failed miserably. In the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden is lost, but in the book of Revelation, it's back. It's back, baby. And it envelops the entire earth. And everything in between the book of Genesis and in between the book of Revelation is one giant story of redemption, restoration, and relationship. It's the whole theme of the Bible. And we know that these three R's are made possible when God put on flesh and bone in the person of Jesus Christ. In his 3.5-year ministry, Jesus changed the world order. He flipped it upside down. He said things like, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Love your enemies. We're talking about the Romans here, all right? Turn the other cheek. Blessed are the peacemakers. He said this about himself, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. Matthew 20:28. Our human fallen nature will always push us to serve ourselves. Our human nature will always be skeptical of other people's motives or intentions. In our fallen humanity, we will always have a selfish loyalty to our own well-being. Our fallen humanity will always fight to protect and defend our own purpose, our own kingdom. And Jesus, in teaching his disciples to pray, he told his disciples, pray in this manner. When talking to the Father, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. But sometimes we like to pray, my kingdom come, my will be done. In our fallen human nature, we really are lovers of ourselves, which is the opposite of honor and care. It goes against every fiber in our being to be a part of God's upside-down kingdom. But God wants us, his imagers, his representatives, his church, his bride, to image and help restore every city and every nation into his upside-down kingdom. And this is why we all need to be Spirit-filled, because then we can live by the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's no accident that the very first piece of fruit mentioned is love. In Mark 12:30, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he said this, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. What was Jesus actually saying here? He's saying if you take care of your vertical relationship with God, you should be able to take care of your horizontal relationship with people. If we take care of our vertical relationship with God, we're going to love others like we love ourselves. And this takes us into our core values as a church. It really takes us into and throughout all of them. Every person who just sat up here and talked about our core values, pursuing God, being an engaged family, serving, developing and thriving, and generosity is coming up next with Tiffany. All right, I'm talking about honor and care right now. And what I'm saying is if we take care of our vertical relationship with God, we'll recognize the value in one another. That's honor. And we'll care more about who people are than what they can do for us. If we take care of our vertical relationship with God, we as a church will embody a spirit of unity, even when we don't fully understand where we're going at times, right? Maybe we don't have the full revelation of the vision yet. Think about what the New Testament church did in full unity with one another. They turned the world upside down. If we take care of the vertical relationship with God, we as a church will believe and trust that our leaders have our best interests in mind, because not only are we as a church honoring and caring for one another, but our leaders are honoring and caring for us as well. If we take care of our vertical relationship with God, we will protect and defend our church and our church's vision to others. Not only protect the vision, but to gladly spread it to anyone and everyone we know. This is what it means to honor and care as a church. And on the grand scale of things, God stamped us with his DNA when he gave us his Spirit. We are to be God's representatives wherever we are and wherever we go. But on a slightly smaller scale, we are to be imagers of this church. We are to be imagers of Pastor Andrew and Shiloh's vision for our church. We are representatives of the leadership of this church. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul wrote, follow me as I follow Christ. We have leaders who we need to honor, a church family we need to care for, a mission statement we should never forget, a vision we should always defend, a code we need to image even when no one is looking, and a set core of values that we live by on a daily basis, in a system that works, helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. We should take ownership, because when we take ownership of something, we have responsibility for it. And that's it. I did go over.
Great job. All right. Well, last but not least, we're going to have Tiffany Venegas. She serves and blesses you guys every single week from the stage in music, but she's going to come and deliver a word for us next.
Good morning. Don't start my time yet. Oh, he started it. Okay, wait. All right. I am super excited, and I want to give honor to Pastor Andrew and Shiloh for letting me come up and speak. And so, and also because I followed the core value of giving honor. So this morning, my core value that I have is, and I'm going to actually read it verbatim too, because I think it's a really awesome definition. It says that we express generosity here at the LifeWare or the 414 Church. And in definition, we named that as we live with open hands, using our time, talents, and treasure to serve others with the love of Jesus. And in parentheses, it says we live to give. And so I really reflected and spent a little bit of time thinking about, you know, what is generosity really? And how in my life have I lived out generosity? Where are places where I have gaps and I need to, you know, really work on that with the Lord's help? And so I looked up the definition of generosity, and it just basically says, so generous is of a person showing a readiness to give more of something, as of money or time, and giving more than what is strictly necessary or expected. And so I got to thinking about, all right, generosity isn't necessarily me bringing my tithe, right? That's like an expected thing, right? Generosity isn't me just loving people. That's like an expected thing that God like requires us to do. So what is really generosity? So I got to thinking about my life, and I want to share a little bit of a story with you because I like stories and they help me to understand things a little bit more. So I went into education. I'm still in education as a career. And when I started teaching, I was so passionate. I taught high school in Milwaukee for a while, and I absolutely adored my kids. I loved my school. I loved everything I did. I taught, and I took on all these additional responsibilities, not because anyone asked me to, but because I wanted to. I started coaching volleyball, and I was teaching choir after school and doing all these things, and I was so fulfilled in it because I absolutely loved working with the kids and the relationships that I built and just how much I saw them grow. And what I started reflecting on was over time, certain things in my career started to shift, but they also shifted in me. So I taught for a while, and then I moved into a dean's position, and then eventually what I'm doing now as a principal. And about 2 years ago, I found myself in a place where I was like, you know, I really don't even want to do this anymore. Like, I just felt like everything was a task. And even the things that were, you know, good things to do in showing generous love, like, I didn't feel the same heart feel anymore. I was doing the things that were required of me, but I could tell it wasn't from a generous spirit. And so I got to thinking about, like, you know, what was the shift and what was the change? And during that time, I thought, you know, God, like, I believe you've called me to this work, and so I don't want to lose my passion. I don't want to lose this generous spirit. So what's changed? And as I reflected, what I realized had changed was I became so about checking boxes and so about doing the duty that I felt like was the right thing. And sometimes we do that in church and in our relationships with people. We slip into giving because we have to, or because Pastor talked about it last week and we realize we haven't been doing it, right? Or we give because, like, we're like, oh, shoot, you know? And so I realized that, like, I started doing things out of tasks. Like, I really wasn't even paying attention to the people around me. I just wanted to do good work, and I wanted to be successful. And I realized that in that, what had slipped was the relationships that I had, the love relationships that I had had with the people around me. And so I had to step back and create boundaries and start to reconnect with people. And as I did that, I started to feel this love again for what I was doing. And I thought about the shift that really has to happen in us if we're going to live generously is we start with prayer. It's not just about, like, I gave more this week, because that doesn't mean it's coming from our heart. It's coming from prayer. God, show me the places and the spaces that you need to show up. And then running towards the fire. And what I mean by that is this. This week I had a really interesting situation. So I work in a school, and there is a boy in our school who is, he's gone through some really significant things that you would never imagine a child or anyone to have to deal with. He's also a pretty significantly challenging student to work with, and sometimes I just want to, like, wash my hands of him. And this week I actually had to walk him home because some things had happened and his mom has no communication. And as I was walking him home and kind of annoyed in certain things, we got to his house and there were all these garbage bags out in front of his yard, and he was like, Mrs. Venegas, why are there all those garbage bags out? And we got to the house and I was dropping him off, and, like, listen, his house is in absolute shambles. And as I walked with him and asked him questions and talked to him, I felt something in my heart shift. Before I went on that walk and talked with him and saw inside of his home and asked some questions, I just wanted to get the task off of my list and deal with the problem. And when I came back to school, I started reflecting and I was like, God, you gotta give me wisdom in this. How do I handle this situation? And something shifted in me where I felt a generous spirit come forth because I got to talk to him. I got close to the fire and I said, God, like, man, I you got to help me live generously in this situation. And so what I want to encourage you in today is that living generously, the Bible says a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Generosity comes in our time, in our talents, and in our gifts, but it truly comes from a heart of getting close to the fire that God's put around us, getting close to the people and the places and the church that need us the most. And as we do that, I believe God naturally will bring up a spirit of generosity in us. And it's not because we have to, but it's because truly we get to do that. So that's my encouragement for you guys this morning.
Thank you. Let's give them all a great hand again. This is so amazing. So amazing, the giftings. What I loved in as our team has worked on kind of defining our 414 code is that these are all interwoven together. And really, it starts with a foundation of really knowing God and being in love with Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, as Tiffany closed this out and talked about generosity, the entirety of the gospel is generosity. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. I think sometimes it's easy to hear that and say, well, God, you loved the world. Yeah, the world's a big place and all the people that... No, no. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering maybe what's the next step I should take. God, I've got so much pain and I've got so much hurt and there's so much brokenness and there's so much trial and tribulation. And God, I don't even know where to turn. I want you to know that you can turn to Jesus. That's why he came. We don't walk into a school and set up every Sunday morning starting at 7:30 in the morning because we have nothing better to do. No, we do this because it's an opportunity for us to create environments to encounter the presence of God. I want you to know that God is here today. And so if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never repented, if you've never given your heart to him, can I tell you this morning, this is a great time. Right now is a great moment to make that step. Maybe you're here and you once had a fervent, deep relationship with Jesus Christ, but for whatever reason, you've just drifted away. God, I want to encourage you today, right now would be a great time to say yes to Jesus all over again. And so without any hesitation, no one looking around, if you're ready to make that choice today, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus without any hesitation, would you just lift your hands? Come on, I see one there. I see a hand, another hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over the place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Now you can put your hands down. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I give my life to you. And Lord, I know I've made some mistakes and I've failed and I've fallen and I've come a little short in so many places. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, God, I'm just asking, Lord, I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I give you my brokenness, my hurt, and my pain. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you give me new life. Lord, today I repent of my sins, which simply means I'm going to stop going my own direction, and instead I'm going to make an about face, and I'm going to turn, and I'm going to walk towards you. Lord, be the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I pray over our church, Lord God, as we go through this period of transition. Lord God, that these words that have been shared, these core values, Lord Jesus, Lord God, that they wouldn't just be words that are just hidden on a piece of paper and tucked in a notebook and forgotten somewhere. But Lord God, that we would truly follow them, Lord Jesus, that we would truly allow them to become a part of our life. Lord Jesus, that we would be so in love with you, Lord God, that the world, Lord Jesus, would feel you through us. Lord, let us be your hands and your feet. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.